God of sky, water, and earth, God of spirit and flesh, fall afresh on us this day. Mold us, make us, shape us, and renew us. Amen. Well, those of you who are here today, the very brave few, are here because you have emerged from yesterday's snow and tracked through today's slush and ice. I think I'm probably not the only one in Corvallis and the surrounding area who did not emerge more than a few steps from the warmth and comfort of my house yesterday. As long as one knows that it's temporary, sometimes it's nice to be stuck in one's warm house when it's snowing heavily outside. My inside experience of what was going on outside yesterday made me realize that one thing I particularly like about our house, especially during the often cloudy days of winter, are the skylights. Yet, yesterday, the skylights were covered with snow and thus were actually blocking the light, which made our upstairs living space darker than usual and gave me a bit of a closed-in, claustrophobic feeling. It was a big contrast to what we heard read in today's gospel when Jesus came up from the waters of baptism and suddenly the heavens were opened to him. There's emotion and feeling in that scene. It's a scene to which we can relate because however we have experienced it, in some way, all of us have experienced emerging from darkness, or perhaps just shade or shadows, in experience hiking and backpacking in the forests of Colorado, Washington, and Oregon to know what it feels like to emerge from a deep, dark forest path into a sunny mountain meadow exposing an immense, endless blue sky above me. Especially you have that blue sky in Colorado. For us Oregonians, one can often feel one's spirit lift and the spirits of those around us when we experience a bright, sunny day or even a few sunny hours after days of clouds and rain. Of course, in baptism, especially for probably the minority of us in this room who may have experienced an immersion baptism where one is plunged completely under the water, there's also the sensation of going from a place where one cannot easily breathe or see well to a place of light, breath, and light when you come up. So I know some folks over here have experienced that, and you actually, when you come up out of the water, you have a grasp, a big breath, not only because you want air, but probably because the water is really cold, and you're gasping because you've come up out of this cold water into light and sun. One in that case emerges from the temporary bondage and threat of being drowned into life-giving day. In this way, baptism becomes not only an event in Jesus' life and our life, but as St. Paul explains it in Romans, an image of actually moving from death to life. Says Paul, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. Yet, as Martin Luther reminds us, we are simultaneously saint and sinner. We are simultaneously bound to sin and freed from sin. Wow, what a paradox is that? So it is that we are reminded to continually affirm our baptism, to claim our freedom from sin by seeking God's liberating forgiveness. For no matter who we are, how experienced we are, how spiritual we are, or how intelligent we are, life's circumstances and our stubborn selves can easily cause us to unintentionally fall into that prison of sin. Our minds can become imprisoned by lack of new or renewed knowledge. Our creativity can become imprisoned by lack of vision. Our spirits can become imprisoned by depressing and oppressive thoughts and actions. Our attitudes can become imprisoned by self-centeredness and condemnation of others. Our courage can become imprisoned by fear of both the known and the unknown. And if this happens to any of us, it happens to all of us. We are reminded of that in a poem by 20th century African-American poet Langston Hughes in his poem, Let America Be America Again. Though written in 1935, it still carries relevance for our own time. Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great, strong land of love where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme, that any one be crushed by one above. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the black man and woman bearing slavery's scars. I am the red man and woman driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man and young woman full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profit, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work the worker, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker sold to the machine. I am the black one, servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean. hungry yet today despite the dream, beaten yet today, O pioneers. I am the one who never got ahead, the poorest worker bartered through the years. Yet I'm the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet its mighty daring sings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turned, that's made America the land it has become. Oh, I'm the one who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home. For I'm the one who left dark Ireland's shore and Poland's plain and England's grassy lea, and torn from black Africa's strand I came to build a homeland of the free. The free? Who said the free? Not me. Surely not me. The millions on relief today, the millions shot down when we strike, the millions who have nothing for our pay. For all the dreams we've dreamed, and all the songs we've sung, and all the hopes we've held, and all the flags we've hung, the millions who have nothing for our pay, except the dream that's almost dead today. The land that never has been yet, and yet must be, the land where everyone is free. The land that's mine, the poor person's, Indians, Chinese, Mexicans, Africans, me, who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, the steel of freedom does not stain. From those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again, America. Oh, yes. I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet, I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the abuse and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the seas, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states, and make America again. So it was and is that Langston Hughes wrote to the reality of how, even in what we consider the land of the free, people can be imprisoned. For those of us who follow the one that on the eighth day, the day of new creation, was named Jesus, and who as an adult was baptized by John, we don't claim a limited national freedom. We proclaim a freedom meant for those of every tribe and nation. We proclaim a freedom meant for all creatures and the very cosmos. Baptism and the remembrance of our baptism frees that which is or has become imprisoned in us, by figuratively opening the heavens, unveiling the immensity of the limitless sky, by bringing sky to the water in which we stand, the water in which we are birthed and rebirthed. Baptism and the remembrance of our baptism brings life-renewing spirit to our death-encased flesh. So it was that when Martin Luther was feeling overpowered by temptation, he didn't shout, "I believe," but he shouted, "I am baptized." His assurance wasn't his faith, but his baptism. Notice, too, that he stated it in the present tense. Not, "I was baptized," but "I am baptized." It's not just something that happened in the past. It's something that is. It's something that identifies us, names us, and claims us as beloved children, daughters and sons of a God who takes pleasure in our lives and restoring us to life. Being freed from that which imprisons us, we can live with a spirit-given calling. In Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism, that calling is stated to fulfill all righteousness. We reclaim a right understanding of who we are as God's children and of who we are as God's church. Through God's grace, mercy, and renewal, we become right in our relationship with God. We proclaim a God who, as the psalmist said, gives strength to God's people and a peace the world cannot give. We see how the limitless sky continues to kiss water-bathed people and earth. We shine with the light of what God can do for the world through us because the Spirit continues to descend like a dove to alight on us. Thanks be to God. Amen.